I'm Keith Kraft with Elevate Life Church in Frisco, Texas, but we are a friend of Planet Shakers and so grateful that you've chosen to join us today. You know, today I'm going to be talking about a message called Today's the Day. And I really do believe that. I take you on a journey where I went down to Florida in the United States of America, and I began this journey of discovery about today being the day. And you know, if today is going to be your day, you have to understand this, that you have to know the who's in your life and the what's in your life and get focused on those two things. And then today really will be the day for you. God bless you. Just want to get into the word today as quick as I can and tell you that, again, what an honor it is for me to be here. And for those of you that don't know me, I am your brother from another mother. It's the truth. And we're just going to have a great time today. You know, I got a call from a man that, first of all, the number came up on my phone. I didn't recognize the number. And so, like many of you, if I don't recognize the number, a lot of times I wait to see what the message is going to be. And but I decided that day to go ahead and answer the phone. So I answered the phone, and the man immediately told me who he was, and I knew who he was because in the United States of America, and you can Google this figure, I'm not sure what it is, but I think in a country of almost 400 million people, you have close to 500 true billionaires. There can be as many as maybe 1,000, and maybe even on some level with companies up to 2,000 people. But look at the percentages, okay? So when this man told me his name, I knew who he was because he was one of the 500. And he said, I know you don't know me, but I know you. And he said, I heard this about you, and I wanted to know if it was true. And he said, is it true that you're raising people up to be millionaires, teaching them how to become millionaires so that they can fund the kingdom? And I said, yes, that's true. I said, God's really put that on my heart. And I believe that he wants to flow money through his people's hands. I believe that he can get it through them. He'll get it to them. And he said, well, what would you think about coaching a few billionaires and about teaching us about the kingdom and what to do with our money? I said, well, I'm really open to that. I'm open to that. He said, what I'd like you to do is to come down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And he said, we're going to get on a yacht. And we're going to take a three-day trip down to the Florida Keys. And he said, literally, we want to sit at your feet. There's eight of us, and we just want you to teach us about the kingdom. And he goes, would you be open? I said, I'm open to that. And he said, well, how much would you charge us? Well, all of a sudden, the spirit of wisdom came on me. And I said, I'm going to leave that up to you. How many of you think that's a good answer? That's a good answer. And so he said, good, then let's do it. And so I flew down, I'm just going to say it like it is, in a private jet to Fort Lauderdale. I get there, I get on this yacht, and literally inside the yacht, these guys get around me on the floor and said, just teach us. Teach us about kingdom. So we left Fort Lauderdale, and for the next 3 hours, I just taught about kingdom. I taught about what it meant to be honorable. I talked about how you don't honor people because they're honorable. You honor people because you're honorable. And honor's a missing piece in the world today because people don't understand that if you were to ask God what the most important thing to him is, a lot of people say, well, it's love because God is love. And I said, they don't understand. I believe if you were to ask God what the most important thing to him is, he would tell you honor. That the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the original garden was not about fruit. It was not about a plant. It was about honor. And God always has a system where he sets up a system of testing. And so again, as I share this with you, I'm sharing this in the context of this conversation, that the devil tempts us to bring out the worst in us. God tests us to bring out the best in us. And so there's a difference between temptation and testing. And so all of us have a combination of both, but honor oftentimes, or dishonor, causes you to lose in your temptation, and it brings out the worst in you because you dishonor, and therefore you're tempted. The devil's ultimate goal, by the way, listen very carefully now, is not to get you to sin, but to get you out of honor. to not honor God with your life, to not honor God with your finances. That's the devil's ultimate goal, because he knows that, just take it from a financial standpoint. Just a few minutes ago, your pastor gave you an opportunity, and that's what it was. Therefore, as we have opportunity, the Bible says, let us do good, especially to those that are in the household of faith. Why? Before that scripture, it says, don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, you will reap if you faint not. Why does the Bible say don't grow weary in well-doing? Because sometimes you grow weary because you're not seeing the results. Is anybody with me? And so in the context of this conversation, it all comes back to honor. And honor and generosity are twins. You see, when we're generous, we're the most like God. For God so loved the world that he gave. In other words, God is all about that. So God does not give us a job. Listen now, how many of y'all got a job? Oh, Lord, I need to pray for some work here. How many of you have a job? Let me see your hands. How many of you need a job? How many of you want a better job? Let me just prophesy this over you. Jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, checks in the mail, finding money, bills paid off, debts demolished, royalties received, the kingdom of God advanced. Come on. So listen, God doesn't give us a job so we can make a good living. That's not just Aussie thinking. It's not just American thinking. But the truth is, it's human thinking. Human thinking is, okay, I got to get a job. I got to support myself so I can have me some food, so I can have me a house, so I can have me a car. And that's the lid on our life. If I can make enough money, I can get the house I want. If I can make enough money, I can get the car I want. If I can make enough money, maybe I won't have to worry about money. And let me just tell you something. Everybody say, I'm ready. Come on, are you really ready? Because God's going to speak to you in these next few minutes. God does not give us a job so we can make a living. He gives us the privilege of work so that we have something to give. I'll ask this question just for thought. Did Jesus have a job? Most people would say, no. Well, then why did he need to pay taxes? Why did he and God the Father have a talk? We need to pay some taxes. And God says, look, I'm going to make it easy for you, son. You only have to catch the fish. Just go over there, there's a fish, and open up the fish's mouth, and there's gold in there. And everything you need, I'm going to provide for you. And yet Jesus didn't, his father was a what? Carpenter. Come on, y'all. His father was a carpenter, but never says that Jesus was a carpenter. What did Jesus do? He went about giving out of who he was, and as a result of that, God met all his needs. Now listen very carefully. God does not give you the power to labor so you can buy a house or a car or feed yourself or feed your four and no more, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. God gives you the power, watch this, to get a job so that you can give, because here's God's ultimate goal that we need to wrap our mind around. God doesn't want you to live off of your labor. He wants you to live off of your giving that you were able to do because of your labor. So Jesus lived off of what he gave. He did not live off of what he made. And yet that's our small thinking. That's where we think too small. That's the lid that's on us too oftentimes. So God sets up this system of success, and he says, now listen, the first dollar of every 10 that you make, you're not giving that, you're returning that. Because in other words, out of honor, you honor me in that way, and then your giving starts after that. So generosity and honor work very much together. And I share that with you because in the context of this conversation with this billionaire, and these billionaires, as I begin to talk about that kind of stuff, because they asked me to, we get to the Florida Keys, which is about a 3-hour yacht ride from Fort Lauderdale. And I guess, because that's how long it took. I don't know how far it is navigationally, but we get there. And so that night we had a great meal together. And so I just kind of asked the question, well, are we going to have some fun or am I just going to teach the whole time? They said, well, we brought you here because we want you to teach. We're going to have some fun. And so the next day we went out and they said, look, we'll have fun after you teach. And so, well, what are we going to do? They opened up the back of the yacht and boats and Sea-Doos and all kind of stuff come out of the back of the yacht. So that was a lot of fun. But then after we did that, They said, but the thing that you're going to enjoy the most is we're going to a museum. I thought, maybe this is why I'm not a billionaire, because I don't think like that. I literally looked at them and I said, wait, our wives aren't with us. Why would we go to a museum? And one of the guys looked at me and he said, this is going to be your favorite part, I know. And they kind of looked at each other. I thought, okay, I'm in. So we go to this museum in the Florida Keys. I step my foot across the threshold of the door. The anointing of God hits me. God begins to speak to me. I turn the corner and this is what I saw, this sign. Today's the day. I tell the guy, grab your camera, take a picture. God's speaking to me. Now you can't tell I've got tears in my eyes, but I've got tears in my eyes. Because the Holy Spirit was all on me. I said, God's saying something here. And then I heard this story that today I want to tell you. Did you know that Jesus taught in parables? How many of you ever heard that? Over a third of his ministry, he taught in parables. You say, what's a parable? A parable is an earthly story that points to a heavenly purpose. In other words, for everything in the natural, there is a supernatural correlation. The Bible says it this way, that the things that are unseen are made manifest by the things that are seen. So why do you think the devil wants you to get focused on the seen things and allow what's happening in the seen to keep you from getting into the unseen? You see, the devil and God use the same things. They use the things that are seen, but too often times we allow the things that are seen to sidetrack us. And God says, listen, don't walk by sight. I want you to walk by faith. I want you to understand, I've got a higher purpose for you, and I'm going to use this thing that you're seeing right now to help you see what I want you to see. Walk by faith and not by sight. Tell somebody that next to you. Say, hey, start, walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, so listen to this. So he taught 46 different parables that the Bible records. And one day his disciples came to him and they ask him this question. It's found in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And around the 12th verse, or 10th verse, of Matthew 13, and the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak in parables? What's the deal with parables? Look what Jesus says. He answered and said, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. I want to prophesy over you right now. Everybody raise your right hand. I'm going to speak a word over your life right now. God is about to open a mystery to you that's going to crack the code of what's been holding you back in Jesus' name. He said, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given. For whoever now listen very carefully. For to him who has, he will have more, and he will have abundance. I speak that over your life, that you're not just going to have more, but you're going to have abundance. I was periscoping during worship, and when y'all wanted to come, Holy Spirit, somebody texted me from the United States of America. And they said, I'm sitting here watching on Periscope. And the minute that they begin to sing, come Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit began to wash over me. How in the world can through technology, somehow God's Holy Spirit here in Australia on Melbourne on a different day, it's Saturday night in Dallas, it's Sunday morning, and God says, listen, I'm gonna do things in the future that are already happening right here in Australia. You're already gonna be on the next day, and the rest of the world is going to be the beneficiary. So maybe in God's ultimate plan, you've got to get it first so we can get it. I want you to hear that. Some of you in your family, you've got to get it first so your family can get it. You've heard that old church song. Let me be the one you run to. Let me be the one you come to when you need someone to run to. Let me be the one. Bop, bop. I went way back just then. I mean, some of y'all are lost. Say, what's that song? We sing that in church. God says, let me be the one you run to. Let me be the one you come to. And when we say, come Holy Spirit, God says, you don't know how long I've been waiting to hear that. I'm coming right now into your situation, into your circumstance. Why do you teach this? Why do you teach in parables? His own disciples. Because I want to reveal some mysteries to you that everybody else doesn't know. And by the way, I don't just want to give you more. I want to give you abundance. He goes on to say this. The reality is, the prophet Isaiah said, they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. But you see, you have eyes and you have ears. And as you turn towards me, I will heal you. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and did not see, to hear what you hear and they did not hear. God, let us hear today what the Spirit of the Lord is saying right here. So I go into this museum. The Holy Spirit comes on me. He says, I'm wanting to say something. And then I saw a video like the one I'm about to show you that's the parable for what I believe God wants to tell you today. Take a look at this.
On any given day, ships plying the Straits of Florida carry cargo worth a mere fraction of the treasure that sank beneath the waves. Scattered across the seabed are the wrecks of thousands of Spanish galleons and an untold fortune in gold.
There is a continuing hunt for treasure, particularly in the Caribbean, but elsewhere, for the wreckage of some of those ships where there will be gold coins and possibly gold bars on those ships.
The Great Florida Treasure Hunt was inspired by the greatest treasure tale of all time, Treasure Island. A book that left its mark on an Indiana boy named Mel Fisher.
He was interested in treasure hunting all his life, even from when he was a little kid. And it was just something he always dreamed about doing and wanted to do.
When Mel grew up and moved to the Golden State of California, he went prospecting.
He had a dive shop out in California, and he used to save all his money and go treasure hunting for a hobby. And then his hobby, the vacations, treasure hunting, kept getting longer and longer, and finally, in the early 60s, he decided to go full-time treasure hunting.
Fisher's prize was a fleet of Spanish galleons that sank off the coast of Florida in 1715. He sold his business, packed up his wife and children, moved to Florida, and held his breath.
He and six other people all agreed to work for 1 year without pay and see if they could find the treasure.
Fisher's team swept 120,000 miles of ocean floor with a metal detector called a magnetometer. It can pick up a cannon, an anchor, or gold.
On a 360th day, 5 days before their deal was up, they dug a hole and it was full of gold doubloons.
That day, they brought up $50,000 worth of gold. Fisher was hooked. 2 years later, he began combing the Florida Keys for an even greater prize, the Spanish galleon Atocha, flagship of a 17th century treasure fleet bound for Spain.
They would gather up treasure from South America, Central America, and North America, and they would take it on smaller fleets to Havana, Cuba. That was like their hub. And there all the ships would meet up and they would form a large fleet and sail back to Spain, taking this tremendous flow of wealth. This flow of wealth continued for over 300 years.
Scores of treasure ships fell prey to swashbuckling privateers like Sir Francis Drake and Sir Walter Raleigh.
It was those gold coins that Drake and Raleigh and the other people were in pursuit of 400 years ago.
But the greatest threat to the treasure fleets wasn't marauding pirates. It was weather. When the Atocha set sail in August of 1622, hurricane season had already begun.
One day after they left Havana, they got caught in a hurricane, and the admiral ordered the fleet to sail west, thinking that they could sail out past the Florida Keys and ride out the storm in the Gulf of Mexico. And the fleets, the ships that followed the admiral, all sank and perished. And the ships that disobeyed the admiral all survived.
More than 500 souls perished in the storm. Among the doomed ships was the one with the most gold, the Atocha.
Each of these shipments of gold from South America to Spain, they were all big, big shipments with large quantities of gold relative to the amount that was available in the world. And if for some reason they didn't arrive, armies would not get paid, armies would not get fed. It was extremely important to Spain.
There had not been a shipment of treasure to Spain for 4 years, and the king desperately needed this money to keep control of Europe. And when the Atocha sank, it was a devastating blow to the economy.
In 1970, Mel Fisher set out to find the Atocha.
Well, he read about the Atocha in Potter's Treasure Diver's Guide, and it had 4 stars next to it, meaning it had a lot of treasure on it. We knew there was 47 tons of gold and silver out there waiting for us. And then the research told us where it was, approximately, but it gave us a starting point.
The starting point was the Upper Florida Keys, but the search led nowhere. 4 years later, the pivotal clue emerged across the Atlantic among dusty archives in Seville. A researcher scouring old salvage records discovered Fisher was looking in the wrong place.
He spent 3 years looking up in the Upper Florida Keys and the Matacumbes, 100 miles in the wrong direction. It turned out that Potter had some bad research.
Fisher shifted his base to Key West and started over. Long on hope and short on money, he herded his family onto a leaky houseboat. He battled bill collectors and rival salvagers. He sold off minor treasures he'd found to keep searching for the treasure that eluded him. Yet Fisher never lost faith. Each morning he announced to his crew, "Today's the day." For 16 years, Fisher relentlessly pursued the Atocha, a search that would exact a terrible price.
In 1975, one of the salvage boats capsized, and my brother and his wife and another diver were trapped inside and drowned. And, you know, we thought about giving it up, but then we decided that Dirk would want us to continue, and it actually increased our determination. We were going to find it for Dirk. And it was 10 years to the day from the accident that we found it. So I kind of think he was up there helping us, you know.
On July 19th, 1985, as always, Mel Fisher announced, "Today's the day." Using magnetometers and sonar, his sons Kim and Kane spent the day scouring the seabed for signs of the Atocha. That afternoon, Kane announced he'd found something.
He called me on the radio and said that this one hit we had marked had barrel hoops sticking up out of the mud. The barrel hoops are the metal straps that hold the water barrels together. And so that was very exciting.
As the sun began to set, Kane Fisher went back down for a closer look.
And he dug a hole, and the hole was full of barrel hoops and pieces of eight, like the silver coin I'm wearing, and copper ingots. There was 20 tons of copper on board the Atocha. So it started getting pretty exciting. And we moved the boat a little bit and dug another hole, and there was less stuff. And we moved again, and there was less stuff. And so we're starting to wonder if it was just another tease, you know. We'd had been teased several times by the Atocha.
As night fell, the brothers were forced to stop searching. The next morning, they moved the boat again and dug another hole. This time, they hit the mother lode.
The first reaction was, now what do I do? Because I'd spent most of my life looking for this one wreck, and now all of a sudden there it was. Well, that didn't last too long, because finding it was hard, but once you find it, then the work really starts.
In all, the Fishers retrieved, cleaned, and cataloged 250,000 artifacts, silver bars, gold ingots, and yards of gold chain. The value of the Atocha's cargo is estimated at $500 million. It made Mel Fisher the richest treasure hunter in the world and made governments greedy.
The state of Florida and the federal government both claimed ownership to the Atocha. And my father offered them 35%, and they said no, they wanted it all. So we went to court for 8 years, and it went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and they said finders keepers, so we got it all.
Mel Fisher went back to sea in search of more treasure. In 1998, at age 76, he died of cancer.
Dad was a treasure hunter, from the day one, and he did it till the day he died, and he died a happy man. I can't think of anything else I'd rather do. I'll be doing this until I die.
Pretty amazing story, huh? Pretty amazing parable. You see, for everything in the natural, there really is a supernatural correlation. The greatest treasure that's ever been discovered in the history of the world was discovered by a man who for 16 years got up every day and said, today's the day. Today's the day. When the money ran out, today's the day. When his own son died in the quest of the treasure, today's the day. When all his investors pulled their money, today's the day. And when, as I was sitting in that museum, Pastor Russell and Sam, the Spirit of God was on me so strong. These guys were all looking at me. They said, we knew you would like this. I said, oh, it's more than that. I said, the Holy Spirit is speaking for me to tell his sons and tell his daughters all around the world, today is the day. I don't know why I'm here in November, but here's what I can tell you. This year isn't over yet. Some of you have been believing God for certain things to happen this year. Some of you have said, I just don't see that it's going to happen. Can I just tell you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that please him and that believe that he is who he says he is, when they seek him, he says, I will be the rewarder of those who diligently seek me. I came today with a message in my heart to tell you, today is not just the day. Today is your day. I said, today is your day. You've got to be the person that says, you know what? I believe that. I want you to say that with me. I want you to say, today's my day. Come on. Today is my day. God's going to speak into your spirit. He's going to do something that cannot be reversed. And it starts right here. And it starts right now. Put a big amen. Put a big hand clap on that. You know why we clap? Before you're seated, you know why we clap? We don't clap for rugby. We don't clap for AFL. We don't clap for MMA. The reason we clap, it's a form of worship. Here's what it means. This is earth. This is heaven. Heaven's coming into my earth. This is impossible. This is possible. God's bringing his possible into my impossible. This is natural. This is supernatural. God's bringing his super into my natural. Now, come on, let's clap like that. Come on, church. In the next few hours, God gave me this poem. Joth gets songs. I get poems. And this is a prophetic poem. I don't want you just to hear the rhyme. I want you to hear this for you. God gave me this for you. Here it is. Today's the day God has ordained for you. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Today's a reminder that yesterday is gone and tomorrow's out of sight. Today's the day where all wrongs will be made right. Today's the day to start again. Today's the day that you will win. No matter how many times you've lost in the past, God has a future for you that is bright and vast. It's time to look forward and go in the direction of your dreams, to do the impossible no matter how hard it seems. Today's the day to keep doing what you know to do. Draw close to God. He's drawing close to you. Disappointments, rejection, fear, and a broken heart. God is going to use those real life things to give you a brand new start. Today's the day to believe you can do all things through Christ who empowers you to fulfill his plan. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Today, walk by faith and don't be distracted by sight. Today's the day for your dreams to come true. Say it. Believe it. It's your Father's good pleasure to give his kingdom to you. And that's what he's going to do today, because today is the day. A couple of things I want to leave you with. If today's the day, we've got to be focused on what matters most. It's so easy in life to get distracted on what matters least, and we make what matters least more important than what matters most. We make the emergency, we make the urgency, we make the things that don't even really matter that much cause us more pain than we could ever realize. You see, the reality is God has a plan. And the promise of his plan is that he will work all things, not some things, not just the good things, not just the bad things, but he will work all things together for your good. But it's so easy to get focused on what doesn't matter most. So here's what matters most. Number one, you gotta know what matters most to you, and you've gotta know who matters most to you. If you're gonna be focused on what matters most, what does matter most? Right now in your life, what matters most? Only you can know. But let me just tell you what matters most to God. Here's what he says. Psalms 92, those that are planted in my house will flourish in the courts of God. You know what matters most to God? That you're here right now. I'm gonna give you a success equation that I teach to millionaires and that I now teach to billionaires. And here's the success equation. No matter where you are in your life, it's just real simple. Here's what it is. When you get with the right people, in the right place, at the right time, the right things always happen. Do you know that when you come to the house of God, it's the one time this week, I don't know how it was at your work, I don't know how it is in your family, but when you come to the house of God, when you come and you gather with your family of choice, when you lift up holy hands, when you honor God, when you worship God, when you put him first with your finances, it's the one time in your week that you are with the right people, in the right place, at the right time, and God says the right things are going to start to happen for you now. Every time you gather together, you're making God a priority. But watch this, you've got to know what matters most. What matters most with your money? Feeding yourself, taking care of your family, buying your house, driving your car, making sure that you get all you can so you can all you get and then sit on the can? Or are you going to look at money the way God looks at money? As a way to honor God and not even call it money, but call it seed. You see, God does not give seed to the hard worker. That's what you do. You work hard and you get money. God gives seed to the sower. But you have to decide how much of my money do I call seed. You see, if you're going to be focused on what matters most, you've got to know what matters most. And if you're God's son and you're God's daughter, and you are, then you've got to know the what that matters most, and you've got to know the who's that matter most. Well, a part of the story that you didn't hear in the video, let me just tell you that part of the story. So Mel Fisher, after 10 years, is getting a little discouraged. In fact, after 10 years, now his son and daughter-in-law are dead, lost, hunting for treasure that they may never find. They all felt like quitting and giving up. And it was around that time, but they don't tell you this on the video, but around that time, on page 164 in his book called The Dreamweaver, he writes these words. You know, I looked at my wife one day and I said, I think we're missing something. She goes, yeah, we're missing. He said, no, we need to go to church. We need to go to church. She goes, really? They'd never been in church. They decided to go to church. They got involved in a little upstart church in Austin, Texas called Planet Shakers. And no, sorry about that. I was just side note. They got involved in this little upstart church in Florida, and it was pretty amazing. Because one day they're having coffee and donuts with a man by the name of Eugene Lyons. And they're just talking. And Eugene said, what do you do, Mel? And Mel said, you know, I'm a treasure hunter, but I'm not really finding any treasure, so I don't guess that makes me much of a treasure hunter. He said, I'm looking for these Spanish galleon ships. And he says, I've got all these books, but it's written in old, ancient Spanish script, and I can't interpret it. I've got all the books and I'm looking for this one ship called the Atosha that has more gold on it than any ship that ever had, and it sank. Eugene Lyons got a big smile on his face and he said, well, Mel, it just happens. Well, let me ask you a question. I know we just met, but did you know I have a PhD? He said, no, I didn't know that. He said, I have a PhD in Spanish literature, and particularly the ability to interpret old ancient script. And it's a very rare degree, but I can do it. They sit there, the day turned into a night. The one donut became boxes of donuts. They begin to pull the books off the shelf. Their mouths drop to the floor. And all of a sudden, Dr. Eugene Lyons says, I've got to go to Seville, Spain. You saw in the video that some researcher went to Seville, Spain and found some ancient maps. That was a direct result of their conversation. Eugene Lyons went to Seville. He began to get the maps where the Atocha went. He was the only person able to interpret those maps. He came back to Mel and he said, you've been 100 miles off course. Let's redirect. Now watch this. How do you know today's the day? You know today's the day when you know what matters most and you know who matters most. And all of a sudden, they went to the house of God. They made that their what matters most, not their career, not searching for treasure, not trying to build their business, but they made the house of God their priority. And in the house of God, they met their most important who that they would ever meet, Dr. Eugene Lyons. He pointed them on course. He got them to the Atocha, and they discovered $500 million that would have never been discovered. Watch this. Not if there had not been a Eugene Lyons, but if Mel Fisher hadn't looked at his wife and said, I'm at the end of myself. I need God's help. Let's get in church. And God says, that's what I've been waiting for. You're going to meet your greatest who's in the house of God, and your dreams are going to come true. Come on, church. Do you have a dream? Do you believe God for something big? God says, I want you to get into the house of God, get planted, get focused on that, and get focused on the who's, and I'll make your dreams come true. Go ahead and be seated. I'm almost through. Man, I met Sheila, and all I want to say is this. She's the most beautiful who I ever met. And when I aligned myself with her, we talked about having kids. But I never thought that when my son and my two daughters would be born, that the greatest part of me in the earth would be a result of Sheila and I coming together. Today, not only do my kids serve God, it's a dream come true, but it's heaven on earth because they want to serve God with me. They're pastors on my staff. And I look at that and I say, God, that's how legacy happens. That's how dreams like Planet Shakers happen all over the world. Why? Because people come into the house. They don't just buy into the DNA. They become the DNA. And you bring their what and their who together, and the kingdom of God is advanced. And you become a part of something that's so much bigger than yourself. You could have never even dreamed the dream, but God's dreaming the dream through you. Oh, God. You see, if today is the day, you got to know what matters most. You got to know who matters most. But listen, you got to have the right map, don't you? David said it like this. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. We have the map now on our phone in about 50 translations. We have the map on our shelf called the Bible. We've got the word of God at our fingertips, now at our phone tips. And anytime we can go there, and God says, I'll speak to you. David said, Lord, teach me your way, show me your path, and search me and know my heart and remove any wicked way so that whatever your dream is that you're dreaming for me and through me can happen. You see, if today's the day, listen very carefully, we have to focus on what it is that we really want and get our who's and our what's right. But watch this. We have to have the right map, but maybe this is in the end the exclamation point to today being the day. And we've got to decide, I'm not going to quit. I don't know if you've ever felt like giving up, but I have. Sometimes things are going good and I feel like quitting. But I have to remind myself that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know who we are? We're God's sons and we're God's daughters. And we have a destiny on our life that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. We have a destiny on our life to not quit. We have a destiny on our life to be an unstoppable force in the earth. And whatever you decide, because you're God's son and you're God's daughter, if it aligns with what he's already decided in heaven, it's gonna happen. I said, it's gonna happen.